Welcome to Typisch Joost, the podcast about IT service management tools, powered by Onnit Now. My name is Stefan Leij.
And so over the next year, we're really focused on making our European business even better than it is today, so that we're teaming with our partners even more. We're you know, making sure that our customers get these nice, repeatable, positive experiences before me as a vendor partner.
In this episode, Kevin McGibbon is our guest. Since May 2023, the brand new CEO of ForMe. Prior to ForMe, Kevin led Logic Monitor for more than a decade. Why did he step into this role? Where does he see opportunities for ForMe? What does this mean for the Dutch market? And which song does he put into the Joost jukebox? You'll hear it in this episode. Thanks, Kevin, being here. And my first question is, you just started this new endeavor. Mm-hmm. Why? Why did you start this endeavor, and why ForMe?
Well, it's nice to be here. First of all, thanks for having me, Stefan. I appreciate it. And why ForMe? It's a good question. I spent most of the last, well over a decade actually, managing a business called Logic Monitor, which is now a large software as a service company in the infrastructure monitoring and observability market. Mm-hmm. At that business, we actually transformed a well-existing market pretty substantially with a well-differentiated product and platform and built a great team globally. I'm still on the board there at Logic Monitor.
Okay.
I hired a successor who's doing a fantastic job in scaling that business. And then in 2023, decided I was ready for a new project. And so I worked closely with our investors with a very specific idea in mind about trying to go and reinvent and really transform the ITSM and service management market with a leading technology platform, the basis of which is ForMe. And we have a bigger, broader vision about what we're trying to do over time.
We'll come to that, of course, later. But still, why were you ready to do a new endeavor?
Because you know what I found? You know what I found? It's a good question. People say, well, why did you go back to work again? After building something great. And what I found is that it's building something that is really rewarding and building the team to be able to accomplish what you set out to. And it's a fulfilling way to spend your time and to actually make an impact in business and for your customers in the market and for individuals, that's really hard to replicate. And when I found I took some time off, I was busy, but I wasn't quite as fulfilled. It wasn't quite as meaningful in terms of like how I was spending my professional time. And I'm still relatively young. And so
I'm not going to ask for you.
That's right. So I thought, well, I'll give it another crack again and see if I can go build something great again in a different kind of way. Learning, using all the things I've learned in the last couple of decades to apply it maybe smarter and faster to do something really interesting again.
And what did you find interesting ForMe? Because in the end, that was the choice.
It was. And I'll tell you, ForMe, what I found and what I found with my investor partners is that ForMe does something in a different way. And that's what I always look for. Mm-hmm. What I've looked for in my career, and particularly where I've found success, is by building a business off of a technology that is really well differentiated. Mm-hmm. And I'm not an engineer, but I'm a fairly technical and product-oriented CEO. And what I like to do is find things that are different and unique. Mm-hmm. And then you can figure out how do you apply that uniqueness to the needs in the market to be able to build something interesting and market-leading. So that it had those factors with it in terms of how ForMe is built and how it functions and how it can function over time to be different in the market.
Okay, you're talking about unique points. So what are a few, maybe one, two unique points then of ForMe?
Well, one thing that stands out for ForMe is that we're a multi-tenant SaaS platform.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of companies today claiming that they're a cloud based business, meaning hosted in a cloud environment, but they aren't necessarily a SaaS, software as a service, and multi-tenant environment, which does have a technical differentiation, which means that it's possible for us to be able to have many instances running within these environments and for companies to be able to use the platform across geographies and across boundaries. And so that's one of the really fascinating things yeah, for me offers.
If I then translate that for, imagine I'm a customer, what's in it for me then that it's multi-tenant? Because, well, if it works, then it works. So.
Well, there are a number of things. One is it allows us to provide more of a standardized platform offering.
Yeah.
Where we have a capability in this platform that each one of our discrete companies that are customers can use all the benefits of this platform that are delivered at the same time, the same way, from the same technology basis.
Yeah.
So you can proliferate that experience in a way that is unique from what are traditional software-based businesses that usually have a defined instance or hosted instance where they emanate from. So the ability to actually service more allows you to scale more as a vendor, and it allows your customers to more quickly realize the value from that, where they can get immediate access to the benefits of your platform.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the points. Any other?
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Yeah.
Another is, for example, with how the technology is built, we use what we call a trust system within 4Me specifically that allows you within the product to very easily attach the instance or the product experience of a related company. Let's say it's a subsidiary or let's say a customer maybe acquires a new company that they make part of their enterprise or they have vendors or different contractors that need access into their software system. With 4Me, because of how it's built, it allows us to add these different instances where you have a user environment to the same software instance of 4Me. So it's that SaaS multi-tenancy that allows for that to happen in a pretty seamless, easy way that our customers find like an immediate value from.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. We hear a lot of customers that they say that that's really an advantage. You're here, I think, a few months now.
Almost 7 months, almost, actually. Yeah.
Okay, that's a little bit longer than, well, I remember. After those 7 months, sometime in America you have the 100 days, I think, for the.
That's right.
Yeah. So if you look back, what was the most exciting thing or things that you saw?
Well, I'll tell you, the summertime was fun because we made the ownership change in May of last year, and that was when I started. Yeah. And so I got a chance to dive in during the holiday season in Europe. Yeah. We are primarily a European-based business today, even though we're a US-based software company. And so I've had a chance to meet with dozens and dozens of partners and customers during this kind of downtime over the summertime while I got to know the 4Me team. And what I learned was there's a special group of people involved in this business that are building this unique technology. And so I think that was probably the funnest part over the first several months was really just getting myself, situated and familiar with the business to kind of get to know it a little bit more. And then over the last few months, what we've really been working on is making our business better.
Yeah. Okay. And if you look at, if you look forward, what do you think are, trends in the market and how are you going to adapt to those trends?
One example that I would give you is we're going to make 4Me more and more relevant for technology teams that work at our business that are involved in the IT operation or in the technical operations of our customers' businesses. Meaning we have this fantastic workflow platform that is 4Me that's very service oriented.
Yeah.
So we have a service orientation to everything that we build and frankly, everything that we do. We really have a service first mentality. Yeah. And what that means is that our customers can take what can be complex processes internally on how they're trying to get their business done, and they can organize it into a clean set of services that the business is trying to deliver to make their employee experiences and their customer experiences very repeatable, compliant, scalable, and high quality. And so we're going to bring not only our 4Me kind of platform capability into that, but we're adding more and more technology capability into the platform so that teams, for example, can manage incidents with more visibility to the technical details of what might be happening that are creating an impact on a service, and then also making them more resilient. So how are these teams responding to incidents? How do they know how their customers and their partners or their constituencies are impacted.
Yeah.
So we're going to be bringing more, I'd say, technical advantages to the platform over the coming year. Things like AI techniques.
Yeah, I just want to say, how do you see AI in this mm-hmm. in this well in this trend in this development?
Well, we're I would say a unique company in enterprise software in the world
yeah.
where, you know, I live and work from California,
yeah.
which is a bit of a hotbed, obviously, when it comes to AI and innovation in general and technology, yeah. And in software. For me, is really uniquely positioned in that our data structure, which again is another technical advantage we have in our business, is defined such that we have these nice walled garden approaches to the data set that our mm-hmm. customers use in their environments. So as a result, we have this nice ability to be able to institute AI techniques within that nice secure environment to provide really leading edge intelligent kind of solutions
yeah.
where we can summarize information for them, which in the past may have taken them sometimes hours to be able to piece together the history of something. Now, when they're in for me and they're looking at an incident, they can understand the history of what maybe has happened before and therefore maybe what might be happening currently and that they should be aware of. So it can help them both respond faster, automate their service delivery, and provide a faster, better experience. And ultimately what happens is you use a technology like ours to be able to allow your team members in our customers, so our IT teams, for
yeah,
example,
yeah.
work on more strategic things for the business.
Yeah, because how do you see that? Is that a kind of a shift of focus, or are we going to automate everything and there will be no work labor anymore?
I will say one of the things that we're committed to at Formy is to automating through AI the yeah. service desk. That's the future of the service desk, is it to be AI driven.
Yeah.
So that you can really free up your team members to work on more strategic initiatives in the business rather than fighting fires.
Yeah.
And I think the AI is a great, that's a great way to harness the power of AI in a controlled, secure way where you can actually help your business move faster, solve problems better, provide better customer experiences, and let your team work on things that are more important.
Yeah, so it's kind of a shift of focus. Eh? And mm-hmm. So we don't have to be afraid that there's no work anymore in 2-3 years for or 5 years for us.
Absolutely not. No. And I've got to say, at Logic Monitor, my previous yeah. company, being a software as a service vendor there, in the early days, over a decade ago, there was a concern that SaaS offerings or cloud offerings that were automated would make the individual roles within an IT team maybe less important,
yeah.
or that employees would be let go
yeah.
as a result of bringing in the technology. I think the same fear
yeah.
exists today with AI.
Yeah.
My argument, and I think it's proven in my experiences, when you bring in technology like ours, it actually enables companies to work better, work smarter, and allows their companies to use that great, you know, creativity and brain power
yeah.
to go solve business issues or be more strategic,
yeah.
to actually add value to the business rather than just doing repeatable tasks.
Yeah. More value and also yes. in the experience, et cetera. Yeah,
and in every case, that's what we found
yeah.
and what I expect to happen here.
When do you think your mission is succeeded?
I think our mission is actually a bit of an evergreen mission.
Yeah.
As a company, our mission really is to make the world a more productive place.
Yeah.
And what that means is, if you think about it, like in terms of more tangibly, to allow teams to work in a much more productive way without the kind of barriers that boundaries provide today, either yeah. geographically or through organizational structures or technology structures.
Yeah.
A platform like ForMe is an unlock for that, to allow these teams to be able to really change the way that they work. And if I could just touch on it for a minute, I think this is really important.
Yeah.
Like technologically speaking, what we're trying to do is pretty profound.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I think today too many business issues in any business in the world today is dependent on, for example, email.
Yeah.
Email is a very legacy technology without context, without the ability to ensure follow-up and execution on something.
Yeah.
Too many business decisions are made in email. And with ForMe, What a platform enables is that you push your work into a platform that is resilient, it's compliant, it's going to ensure the work is done. And the follow-up happens.
Yeah.
And so it's in a system that will ensure the success, as opposed to being reliant on somebody going into their email box, which is really an older way of thinking about how to use technology.
I send you an email, so it's off my plate.
It's a very serial way of working.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas before me is a platform. So the information exists in a workflow in a platform that is there until it's resolved.
Yeah.
And it gets resolved because it's in the platform.
This does not only have a technology impact, it also has impact, I think, on people, culture.
Mm-hmm.
I want to discuss that in a few minutes, but I first got a question as we was a little bit off topic.
Okay.
Yoast Jukebox!
If you think about For Me, then which song comes in your mind, which you can compare with the company For Me?
Well, it's funny. I've been traveling a bit the last week or so here in Europe, and I've noticed that I've been in these very busy places, and when music comes on, it does allow you a little bit of an escape.
Yeah.
I recently was in Las Vegas to watch U2 just a few weeks ago at the Sphere.
Ooh, okay.
And I'll tell you, so that question reminds me of the Beautiful Day song that U2 sung. So. Beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel that's a beautiful day. To let it get away. On the road. For me, I think it's perfect. It is pretty apropos for what we're doing because we're kind of like trying to look at the market and what we do and the technology associated with what we do in a new light at For Me. And I'm really hopefully trying to bring some of that energy to the team around how we do business and what the great opportunity that is ahead for us. And at that U2 event, Bono did a beautiful job at the end of, he somehow pieced together Beautiful Day with Gloria, which is one of their classic songs, which he sung a cappella at the end of the Beautiful Day. And it was just really moving.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Well,
yeah.
Interesting. And again, Beautiful Day. I just told you before we recorded the podcast that our mission is the same as happy people.
Mm-hmm.
And happy people on a beautiful day. Well, that's...
it's a wonderful thing. Yeah.
Can't be more perfect, of course. This, I think, is also related to culture, happy people, because what we see if we implement For Me within organization, it is not only a technology change. It's not just one tool for the other.
Mm-hmm.
It also is a different mindset and getting people to, understand service and service
it's a
management.
Cultural change.
Yeah,
it absolutely. Really is a cultural change. Yeah.
How do you look at that?
I've got to tell you, being it For Me and dealing now with the realization that everywhere we institute our product, we've got hundreds of customers now around the world.
Yeah,
it's a cultural change that has to happen in the business to take more of a service orientation to how they work.
Yeah,
so it takes a while to wrap your head around it, but it's not unlike the world that I come from. Is the DevOps world.
Yeah.
And DevOps also is a cultural shift.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, how are products built? How are they deployed? How do you ensure their resiliency? Yeah. And it requires a different kind of a mindset organizationally to institute a DevOps culture.
Yeah.
Just like here at For Me, for our customers are all on a journey to go through a move to more of a service oriented approach to how they deliver their business. Yeah.
How do you see the role of a partner in it?
Well,
For Me is a partner organization. Mm-hmm. So
we are. We're definitely a partner first business.
Yeah.
The founders of the business are three Dutch guys, actually, three very smart technologists who did a really nice job of building the platform and building the initial business to really significant level of success here, particularly in the Benelux region in Europe. And part of that success was based on the fact that they had good partner relationships. What I've learned really quickly, and luckily I come from a background of being kind of comfortable with dealing with partners as part of business. And what I tell the team on a regular basis is you can't build a global software company by building just a direct business, meaning being a vendor who's selling directly to organizations around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to have a leverage effect somehow in order to get your company and your product and your platform in the hands of all of the users where you want it. And so partners are critical as a result of that. So we depend on partners for helping us get the message out to market. We depend on our partners to implement our platform. Usually it's in tight conjunction with us helping, you know, architect solutions and making sure it's the right use case and so forth. And then our partners even help us with the support of our customers out in the market. So we have a really good integrated approach with our partners
but that's still,
in the market.
I think a little bit focused on the technology because how we see it as Yoast IT and Onnit Now is that we... An implementation is not just the technology implementation. It's also what we talked about, the cultural change. And that's a little bit, well, kind of different or extra with what you need to bring into the project. And you as a software company, I can imagine, well, you're focused on the technology. And we as a partner, I think, should bring also the, well, the cultural change and making sure that the customer gets the most benefit out of the tool. If you implement it, you're not, after the implementation, you're not finished. You need to build further and further.
Absolutely. Well, one of the, I'll just say one more topic on that partner piece, because you're absolutely right. One of the values in our business in terms of how people show up to work every day is this notion of teaming. Meaning that, yes, we have a service first business. We know partners are integral to that, but teaming is a really important aspect. So each one of our employees, we ask to make sure they understand how they work as a team to solve problems and to deliver great customer experiences. But our partners also team with us. And even just this morning and earlier this week, I was at some of our large customers here in Europe, and it's really clear to me that our partners are teaming with us to make that success, that transition, that cultural transition happen. And there's really good alignment between how we think and work and our partners think and work to make that happen, or else it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, no, I agree. How do you, if we have this podcast in, let's say, 2 years, how does the world look like?
Well, from a for me perspective?
The other one is a little bit big, but so let's say from a for me perspective.
I'll tell you, for me is on a really significant growth path. Even this last year with the change in ownership that we made back in May, the company grew incredibly fast. I happen to be fairly privy to, you know, the performance of a lot of software companies, and we're an incredibly fast grower, even in a kind of somewhat ambiguous macro economic market, both in Europe and in North America. But we're a fast grower. We're going to continue on a fast growth path. But what I want to make sure that we're doing is that we're managing our growth in the right way. Because as a still a relatively regionally oriented business, we have a lot to learn and a lot to continue to work to get better at every single day. And then what we will do is we'll go through a very quick learning, I think, period here on how we scale out those great experiences. And so over the next year, we're really focused on making our European business even better than it is today, so that we're teaming with our partners even more. We're, you know, making sure that our customers get these nice, repeatable, positive experiences with 4Me as a vendor partner. And then what we'll do is we're going to take that to other geographies. So we're already making significant investments in North America, and we will start to make likewise investments in other regions in the world.
Yeah. So first Europe.
First Europe. We're we're really focused, I would say, on our European business and making it even better, making our partner business even better. And then we'll take that learning and we'll push it into the other markets where we do business.
Just think, we talked about culture. I'm also wondering, what do you think of the Dutch culture? We have a strong opinion about the American culture, but little
Well, I'd like to hear a little bit about that. Maybe we could turn the table on you here. My experience with Dutch culture is that it's a pretty direct culture, which I'm comfortable with. You know, as a CEO and as a leader in general, one of the things I always do is I'm just very transparent. And it doesn't matter which audience I'm dealing with. It doesn't matter, like, we're having a conversation here, this podcast, or if I'm talking to all of our team members or an individual on our team or a board member or investor or customer, I say the same story so that I don't have to like change myself in the way that I work or the way that I think. You know, my grandma always told me, if you don't tell a lie, you don't have to remember what you told somebody. Which is actually simple but profound.
Absolutely.
And I feel the same way from like a business standpoint with the Dutch. So that's my experience so far. They're pretty direct. But like, take it or leave it. And sometimes, you know, you may not love what you hear, but pretty good, direct, honest feedback. So I like that.
Okay, that's good to hear. And I will outside the after the podcast, I will tell you what we think.
Good, please do.
But if customers are listening, why should they invite you or someone from For Me? Why should they talk to For Me?
Well, I'll tell you. First of all, we've got this great technology platform, which I've already talked a little bit about. But assuming that's table stakes, what I always believe is like, not only do you have to have a great product, but you have to be able to deliver great experiences and partner with your customers and with the market and really understand what their business is about and what they're trying to achieve and how do you make your technology be an enabler for them
to do better business. The competitor says that he has a great product as well.
That's correct.
Yeah,
they do. But what I found is that not every company is great about ensuring a high level of customer satisfaction and great experiences with the technology. And so meaning like, do we make their business better?
Yeah.
That's what I think we have to ask ourselves every day. And what I would ask our customers to like put some faith in us because we have a good technology roadmap in terms of where I see the market headed, which is a bit different than our competitors.
Yeah.
So it's differentiated.
What's the difference? Can you say something about that?
I will actually. Yeah. My vision for me longer term is that you'll see us build more of an integrated approach to what I call tomorrow's ITSM or IT service management today, along with an integrated approach to service management, which is across the enterprise, so that the technology provides benefits for not just the IT organization, but for employees, for vendors, for customers, for partners. And that we can connect that universe using basically almost like a philosophy where we're providing a backbone software for how businesses are run so that our customers can actually understand not only are they delivering great experiences to their employees or to their customers, but how are they making decisions about what products and services they're building or delivering? Yeah. I think the For Me can be the platform to enable all of that capability in a really seamless way over time.
Yeah. So and also HR facilities, all those.
Absolutely. It's all part of a system. So you know, you have your HR teams, your facility teams, your finance teams, your PMO or project management teams, product development. Is every particularly mid or large enterprise company today, they're all to some extent technology companies. They're all software companies.
Yeah.
Where they're building applications or trying to figure out how to deliver new services. And so when you realize that, like the entirety of the system, if you can connect it all in a seamless way, you can provide much more value, to meaningful value across the business in terms of the services that we offer.
You create a beautiful day.
That's right. You create a very beautiful day. So I actually think we're like very uniquely positioned to transform this market that we're in and really create a new kind of a category leader.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very well excited to be part of that as well. One last question: what do you want to tell your competitors?
I would wish them the best of luck. I actually think I'm a pretty competitive person.
Yeah,
and whether I'm interviewing one of our employees to be part of our team, and I kind of try to understand the business that we're in, I like to have a competitive mindset. And I think good, healthy competition is a good thing. And it also helps you keep things real, right? And I think there are a lot of good technologies and vendors out in the world. But if you can, again, piece together that magic of having a great technology but delivering real value to your customers, that's not easy to do or to replicate. So I would wish our competitors the best of luck, but I would probably say watch out for us.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good statement. Thank you very much. If we talk about beautiful, I'm looking outside and it's snowing. So, but the sun is also going to shine. So, for some people, this is a beautiful day as well.
All right, it is a beautiful day. Thanks, Stefan, for having me. I appreciate
it. Thank you very much, and good luck with your challenge. And we'll probably speak in a year or something.
All right, great. I'd love to be back. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode with Kevin McGibbon. Subscribe to Typisch Joost for more inspiring episodes. And for more information, check out onitnow.nl.